The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The only thing I don't like about this platform is that it is called Zencaster. I would like one to be called Contemplative Prayer Caster.
I would like it to be called Discalced Carmelite Caster, please. Thank you.
Welcome to the Crunch Daily Podcast that goes to Lowe's and Home Depot on the same day. That was me on Saturday.
Yeah, do it. Do that one. I have some stuff to talk about with that.
Really?
Yeah. go nuts.
What do you mean? Well, I don't understand.
Do that one. That one's funny.
I did it. You want me to do it again?
Oh, yeah, sure. Do it with more energy.
Okay. Well, welcome to...
Welcome to morning.
You didn't expect that one.
I did not expect that.
What if we did this whole podcast in the style of morning sports radio?
In the 1990s. Oh my gosh.
Welcome to the Crunch.
93.7 The Fan.
The only podcast that went to Lowe's and Home Depot in the same day. It's your boy, Ethan. How about those cheeks?
Let's objectify women on the radio.
Isn't this a bit? Wasn't there some show where they did this? The sports caster?
I think it was Weenie in the Butt. That was what it was. It was at Parks and Recreation. They did Weenie in the Butt.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel bad for ripping that off, but...
I think Weenie in the Butt might have been something else, but that's classic.
Well, I'm going to bleep it out when you're saying those words, because I don't want that on the podcast. I'm going to let everybody think about what you're saying.
This is the clean cast.
This is a clean cast. I did go to Lowe's and Home Depot in the same day.
Yeah.
Can I just say something real quick?
Absolutely.
And this might upset some people.
It's half your show.
Lowe's, greater than sign, greater than sign, greater than sign, Home Depot.
You're absolutely correct.
I went to Lowe's, and the level of, let me just say, helpfulness, the signs made a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. Everything was organized, like, it just made more sense where everything was. It didn't feel like you had to walk across the store to get to something that was related to something else.
Yeah.
Home Depot... chaos. Absolute chaos. They had, you know how they have the tool displays?
Sure.
At Lowe's, it's just the tool displays, and you as a customer get to look at them and say, wow, maybe I could have those tools one day. At Home Depot, there's a bunch of signs on all the tool displays that says, make sure to count tools at end of day. It's like, does Home Depot really have that big of a nabbing problem that Lowe's does not have?
Yeah, is it like people walking out with those comically sized plumber's wrenches you see in cartoons that fall on Elmer Fudd's head? It's like, that guy didn't come in with that. He's like, no, I brought this. This is from home.
Yeah, and just...
Who's calling me? Guys, I'm busy podcasting. I gotta turn off my work phone, because otherwise I'm gonna get all these phone calls.
I need to get a work phone.
What's the 701 area code? No way you want to buy real estate in Oklahoma. Get out of here. Do not disturb. Sorry.
And then I went to check out at Home Depot, and the machine was broken. The self-checkout machine was busted.
Do they have those gigantic mega iPad checkout machines at your Home
Depot?
Yes. They have that at mine, too.
Yeah. I don't understand.
Pretty nice.
What are your thoughts on Lowe's and Home Depot? You said you had some thoughts.
I rarely go to Home Depot for myself.
Yeah.
I'm usually going to Home Depot or Lowe's for someone else, namely my father or my Phoebes. Phoebe and I have gone to Lowe's and Home Depot. It's the same twice in one day.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly for plants.
Yeah. I don't go to the plants section. Let me tell you what I got at Lowe's this weekend. I got a branch lopper.
Cool.
Like one of those extendable arms.
Yeah.
I looked like a fool. I was standing in the aisle and I extended it as far as I could go and I held my arm straight up and I was going just imagining myself in my backyard, like, will this work? I ended up purchasing it. I got some light bulbs that didn't fit our sockets. Don't know if you've ever done that before.
That's a hard one.
Have you been in the light bulb section lately?
There's too many.
Talk about something that
Yeah, first of all, I have been in the light bulb section. You can't find anything because it's so darn bright. You're just like, where is everything?
I was going to say, talk about a section that's counterintuitively unilluminating.
Right?
Every box, there's 600 boxes, and they all have light bulbs indicating some kind of knowledge or wisdom or clarity. And yet, each box is different, but they're all the same at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand the difference. Every single bulb is GE's best bulb. It's like, guys, you can only make one best bulb. These can't all be the best. Because one is clear, one's 150 watts, one's 60 watt, one's dimmable, one's not dimmable. How can they all be the best, GE? I don't understand. I was standing there for 10 minutes just looking
at the bulbs.
And then the one that I bought was the wrong one.
That hurts.
I know. I got some wood glue because all the chairs that we bought on Facebook Marketplace, I wouldn't consider myself to be obese.
No, certainly not. You and Emma are by far people who would not break chairs. Like, and if I had to pick anyone.
And yet, when I sat down on the chair, the legs went and they splayed.
Bambi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I had to get some wood glue.
When we had our goats, one of them we named Bambi because when he came out, he did exactly the Bambi thing where he just like spread, like fell.
Yeah, someone sat on him and he just fell down.
Bloop. Yeah, it was awful.
It
was, but it turns out, I was like, oh, they're just like Bambi. And it's like, well, it just turns out that's just what four-legged animals do when they try to walk. They fail at it and they just spread eagle. Yeah. So anyway, Home Depot.
I'm talking about this because I had to go to lots of different stores this weekend because I just had the day off. It was Saturday. Emma was working, so I didn't have anything to do other than be productive. I went to the mall.
Yeah.
Talk about a place that's overstimulating.
I always get
not used to stimulation.
I always get so, what's the word? Like, nihilistic when I go to a mall.
Yes.
I'm always like, nothing matters.
Yeah.
Nothing matters. Everything here wants me to just open my wallet and just dump it out on the counter. Like that. Mm-hmm. Every single place is just like engineered to take my money from like the posters of scantily clad women over there to the Febreze being pumped out of Auntie Annie's over there. Everything just wants my money. It just wants to appeal to the base instincts of a human being.
Not only is it a visual minefield for men and women who are trying to maintain custody of their eyes. But there's no way. Interesting how there's no way to maintain custody of your nose. That's an interesting thing. And I'm sure Aquinas has written about this because you have to walk through the JCPenney's to get to the concourse. And in walking through the JCPenney's, you're hit with all the smells.
It's very true.
That are in the JCPenney's. And then you get out and like what you're saying, you smell the pretzels, you smell the coffee, you smell the Sbarro. Uh-huh. You smell the Chick-fil-A.
You smell the Hollister.
And then the Hollister hits you.
How Hollister's dark and smells me.
The thing that people forget is that you're smelling other people. There's a lot of people stink in there.
Yes.
I was in there for maybe 20 minutes, and I'm good for the quarter. Like, I don't think I can go back.
Yes. Whenever I go to a mall, it feels like an event. You know, it feels like I'm parking.
You gotta gear up.
Yeah, it's like I'm parking in this gigantic parking lot. It's like a Disney-sized parking lot. And I just, from the moment I get out of the car, I want to go home. It's made for people who enjoy shopping as recreation. I do not enjoy shopping recreation.
I don't get that. I'd really, if someone enjoys shopping as recreation, please post in the chat how.
Facebook.com/group/thecrunchcast. What's wrong with you?
Like Facebook.com/group/thecrunchcast been popping off lately. Everybody loves Facebook.com/groups/thecrunchcast.
Also, a side note, I think we've gotten a new patron every day this week.
Have we really?
Yeah, since we dropped the new Bible Amazing. Cast. Yeah, $5, wow. $5 a month gets you an extra 2 podcasts a month. Oh my gosh, it's $2.50 a podcast. That's a coffee. That's a coffee at Starbucks if you're like a real cheap coffee drinker like me.
It's one coffee per cast, baby. Coffee cast.
Okay, coffee cast. Speaking of the Bible cast.
Tell me.
I bought something. You see this book right here? This is not the book that I was actually thought was here. That's another big book that was
Patrick held up the wrong book.
I held up the wrong book. The other book is in my car, but the book you were talking about, the Catholic Introduction to the Old Testament. How much did you pay for that book?
I think it was $50.
I looked it up. It was about $50. Guess who yesterday ordered it on Amazon for $31, used like new, and got it today. It was me. I'm gonna give you the answer now because I was so excited. I did that. It was so great. I was sitting outside and I was like on my phone and I was like, oh my gosh, it's available for like $31. That's a $20 discount and it's used like new and I could get it tomorrow if I order within the next 8 hours.
I think that means you owe me $20. That's what I think that means.
I'll give you 10. We'll call it even. I'll meet you halfway. But I got it today, and I opened it, and it was covered in like shrink wrap. It's brand actually new. It's actually new. I got a $20 discount on this great book.
It wasn't like new. There was a young Valley girl describing it, and she said it's like new.
Well, so, what happened was some kid bought it for school, thought he was gonna need it. And the professor was like, "Yeah, I don't really use the textbook," and he was like, "Well, dang it!" So he just gave it away. And the guy was like, I could make a pretty penny off of this. But I was reading the book that I got, the version of it that I got from the Franciscan Library, because in the Bible in a Year, we're going through Isaiah right now. And I was reading the chapter on Isaiah, and I was like, dang, Isaiah is so cool. And I was like, I wish I could take notes in this book. I got to buy this book. So I bought the book. And so now the Bible cast is going to be, oh boy, I was working on it yesterday. I was working on the Abraham cycle, the Jacob cycle, and the Joseph cycle, and the Eunice cycle.
I'm very excited for Abraham, but we can't do it too much here. Otherwise, we're just going to be talking about
it. We're just going to talk about the Bible cast, and then this would be free Bible cast, and that's not how Bible cast works.
No. Everybody knows that you have to pay to get the Bible.
Freely we have been given, and so for $5 a month, we will give.
For $5 a month.
I think I just did the math, and I think seven new patrons at $5 a month puts us at $35 from the Bible cast, and I just spent $30 on a book, which means when you split,
you got to keep buying books so we keep making money.
I just broke even on the Bible cast today, so that's kind of funny.
Nice. I'm proud of you. Thanks. Except for that you have to take that 35 and you have to divide it by 2.
Yeah, so and really, give it to you.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Whoops.
What else is going on? Anything else happening?
Oh boy, something's happening.
Tell me.
1 year anniversary, baby.
Oh, shoot.
By the time you hear this, I will be 1 year anniversaried.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, right?
1 week before my 0th anniversary is your 1 year anniversary.
Indeed.
Tell us all. I'm sure the listeners want to know because I want to know. Top 3 things that you've learned or have grown in from your first year of marriage. I'm just putting you on the spot,
baby.
You got to give some, tell some more. People want content.
I would say like talk about the uncomfortable stuff. Like if you don't want to talk about it, it probably means you should talk about it. Pray together all the time, as many times as you can. If you feel like you shouldn't, you should probably do it twice as much. And then don't be afraid to give more than you get. That's what I got.
Wow.
Do not be outdone in generosity.
That's pretty good.
Just try and outdo each other. That's what those are the things that I try to do with Phoebes. Like when we do division of labor, right? It's like she does the laundry every other week. I do the cooking every day, right? But it's like when I cook pretty quick though. So yeah. It ends up being about the same. But it's like when I come home and she's doing laundry, even though that's her thing that she's supposed to do, I help her with it, right? And so when the dishes are to be done, she's like, I'll help you with the dishes. You know, so it's like we divide the labor, not so that we make sure that everything's fair, but so that we have the opportunity to freely give.
Whoa.
It's good stuff.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I think everybody, I don't know anything about marriage yet. I will in about 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, also, no matter how many times you've been in the same space with a person, no matter how many times you fought together, how much time you've spent together, nothing could prepare you for marriage besides actually marriage.
Oh.
Yeah.
So like, that's kind of a dour note.
No. It's a great thing. Like nothing can prepare. Not even, I honestly wrote an article about this in Catholic Match. Not even living together can prepare you for marriage.
Really?
Yeah. Cause like, there's just something different about the whole, this is forever.
Yeah.
You know,
I kind of had a moment today. I won't say where I was. I was sitting on the toilet in my office, but I was just, it kind of just hit me like a truck. Like in a week and a half, I'm going to be married, and that's not going to go away until either I die or Emma dies.
Yeah.
And that's just like, it's just a change. And like, I can't undo it.
A huge change. Yeah. I have one more story and then we can do our topic.
All right, cool.
I made a baby cry. I made a 3-year-old cry yesterday.
That's kind of baby. Anyone under 5 is a baby.
Everyone under 5 is a baby. We went over to a friend's house. A friend who is a coworker of mine, and she's like married and has like 3 kids. So, and her son, Matthew, wanted us to go watch the Olympics with him.
Nice.
And, because they said they were like, yeah, the only thing that's on TV for the next 2 weeks is the Olympics. Sorry guys. so they were like, we can watch the Olympics. And he was like, Can Mr. Patrick and Mrs. Phoebe come watch the Olympics with me? I had to leave. So we had to tell this little kid that we couldn't watch the Olympics with him. And he started crying.
Patrick.
I know. I was thinking back up. I was like, you know what? I probably could have just gone and watched the Olympics with him for like 2 seconds.
He would have loved it.
And he would have loved it. But then afterwards, I came over when he was sitting on the couch watching the Olympics. I came over and was like, whoa, look at that swimming. And I sat on the couch and like watched it with him and then left and he was fine. Because you know who don't hold grudges? 3-year-olds. They're like, what's quick. Yesterday? Like, what's 2 hours ago?
I don't even remember the 2008 Beijing Olympics.
It's like, I know, right?
I know that you do. You're just lying.
But so, and Patty, the lady who invited us over, she picks up her son and she just goes, it's tough to be 3. Like everybody say it's tough to be 3. Like that's what we say when he cries. Like it's tough to be 3. And this kid can like verbalize when he's like, he's like, he starts crying. He's like, I'm having a hard time. And I'm just like, this is so sweet. I was like, man, she's such a good mom. You know, she's not saying it's okay. Cause that like doesn't help, you know,
cause it's not okay.
It's not okay. I'm crying. You know, it's like, she's affirming that it's tough to be in your situation. And like, he's dealing with his problems. And I was like, man, probably could have just watched the Olympics with him.
Yeah. It's good to learn.
It is good.
I'll share one other story. I might've told this. We went to our mentor couple's house for marriage prep and they've got 4 kids. And the oldest is like 10 and the youngest is, I think maybe, I don't know, 1.5, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. And he's at the point where he's walking around and vocalizing, but he's not necessarily like speaking.
Yeah.
Like he can say words, but not, you know, thoughts, I suppose.
Sure, yeah.
But he can communicate what he wants. And so they told me this story. I've never seen it in person, but I can imagine it. Because it's this bald baby who looks way older than he is. He's kind of at the age where it's like, you look old. Like, you look like an old man, but in a really tiny person's body. Because he doesn't have hair, but, like, his eyes are very expressive, you know? Uh-huh. And, yeah, it's just kind of funny. And so there's bald baby that walks around. Every morning, there's a big barn door that leads into their, like, main room or the parents' room or whatever. Every morning, he yanks the barn door open and goes, breakfast! Which is so funny to me to have this little old man wake you up in the morning demanding breakfast.
Breakfast.
That's so funny.
We all just little old man children demanding yes, breakfast?
Demanding breakfast.
Breakfast. But these little kids, they were so excited for us to come over. They were like standing at the door, like watching.
Yes.
And apparently, like the day before.
Kids that age. Kids under the age of 10 are so fun because
they love when people come over, you know?
Yes. And they're like trying to impress you and they're like showing you all their toys.
They're showing me his lunchbox. Like, he's like, I have a lunchbox. He's like, I have a lunchbox. It's got a rocket ship and it's got a truck and it's got animals. I'm like, how do you fit all that in the lunchbox? He's like, no. It's on the outside of the lunchbox. He's like, no, okay, I'll go show you. I'll go get it.
Can I tell you? I forgot I was going to talk about this on the podcast until right now. So I think he's 3 or 4. He's at that age of just innocence, but also he's starting to blossom into having rationality. You know?
Sure. Yeah.
They went to go see Space Jam 2 in the theaters.
Great.
And apparently at some point in the movie, there's like an announcer voice that says, "Welcome to Space Jam." And then Aiden leaned over to his mom and said, "We're already in Space Jam. Why are they welcoming us if we're already here?" Like, we're already at the movie.
Already
why
here.
Why would the movie say "Welcome to Space Jam"? I thought that was so funny.
They should have done that here. They should have done that an hour ago. We've been here.
I know
so
what
long.
The heck. We've been here for an hour. It's halfway through the movie. You can't say welcome. Yeah,
you're telling me they traded LeBron James for this?
And then the other kid, the oldest. Everyone gets a story today. Shout out to the Padula family. They're never going to listen to this. But the oldest one. Do you remember back in the day on TV for the dumb kids who like couldn't cast a fishing rod, they just had like a little gun that you would shoot the bobber out into the water. You
yes,
know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was like a, I don't remember what it was called, but you would just stand there and fire the fishing rod instead of casting it. And then there was a little winch on it. You pull it back in.
Yeah. It's also probably dangerous for little kids to be swinging hooks around.
Yeah, probably. But it didn't go very far. And like, it was one of those things where the commercials tried to make it look, oh, it's going so far. But like, you could tell it's like, it was maybe 20 feet. It's nothing. But one of the kids had attached a fishing rod to a Nerf gun and used the Nerf dart as like a bobber. So like put a hook through the Nerf dart and then use the Nerf gun to shoot the fish, like just had duct taped them together and basically constructed his own version of it.
That's awesome.
Made entirely out of duct tape and a Nerf gun and a fishing pole. And I just thought, wow, that is way cooler than spending $39.95 on a fishing rod gun.
Also, he just, some of those Nerf guns can shoot far.
Absolutely.
We used to put thumbtacks in the darts and absolutely obliterate each other.
You're kidding.
Yes.
That sounds so painful. Ow.
Not if you get the smaller ones.
Did they get lodged in your skin or they just
of
like...
Of course.
Oh, no.
Just kidding. No, we never did that.
I don't believe that you never did that.
I maybe did it once. I maybe got in trouble for it once.
I don't believe that Nick Nevy has never been walking innocently down the hallway and felt a sharp pain in his buttocks and turn around to
Nick
see
Nevy.
You see your eye through a scope laying on the ground prone firing a Nerf pistol out.
Covered in like moss. Like
yes.
In the middle of the hallway.
I actually believe that happened every day. I've been to Melbourne, Florida. There's not a lot to do.
Nick Nevy, how dare you? There's a beach. Nick Nevy, that hurts coming from someone from Kansas.
Hey,
Nick
we've
Nevy,
got fields.
We got fields, baby. We got amber waves of grain. Nick Nevy has been hurt so many times in his life. I don't understand how he is not seriously maimed. He has broken his arm and leg and like split his lip open so many different times. I got a video of him at Cove Crest the other day. He's doing a backflip in the water off of like a pole. I'm like, why are you doing this, Nick Nevy?
Why is he at Cove Crest?
He's helping out at Cove Crest.
Oh, is he like a missionary?
He is not a missionary. He is, I think he's like doing groundskeeping.
Oh.
Yeah, he's doing like service corps or something.
Does he still have to do all of like the rule of life stuff that everybody else has to do?
Maybe.
Okay, I hope so.
I don't know.
That'd be awesome. I've heard of lots of my friends have had very positive experiences working at Cove Crest.
Yes, Cove Crest is good.
Coming out of it and being very transformed and on fire for mission. I hope Nick Nevy has the same experience.
Go Nick Nevy.
Go Nick Nevy. This is a pro Nick Nevy podcast. Nick Nevy, if you're listening, give me a call. I miss you, brother.
The problem is every time he goes to somewhere that's Catholic, someone knows the crunch, and he has to live in that. He's
in the,
like, wait,
in the,
Nick, are you you know Patrick Nevy?
In the looming shadow.
It's one person over the entire summer, but it ruins his week. It's just one guy who's like, hey, I heard the crunch. You know the crunch?
As a certain, you know, cloud passes over in the shape of a cereal bowl, Nick is just running and trying to escape, but he can't. He's shaking
his
fist at the sky.
He can't escape it.
He can't escape it. It's following him.
Oh, man. Well, Now on to the big meat of the podcast where I talk about how badly I need a haircut.
Yeah, you've been really pushing that thing around all cast. Golly. Oh, there it is. Woo!
Headband. Headphones double as a headband.
As a headband, and now this reminds me a lot of 7th grade gym for some reason.
Yeah. Reminds me a lot of that doll Angelica from Rugrats.
Angelica was the girl. Cynthia was the doll.
Cynthia was the doll. I got them flipped.
That's okay. I forgive you.
I can't believe you're that up to date on your
Rugrats. I'm not up to date. I just my brain is broken. It has been for a long time. I have a topic. You ready?
I'm so excited.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Did you have a topic?
No.
Were you going to transition into the topic and hope that I had one?
I was not. I have no topic.
Okay. Bit of a different pace than what we've been talking about.
Oh, no.
It's not anything bad. It's going to be good.
Are you going to turn the tone of the podcast into a brick wall?
No. We're still going to have a good time. Okay, but cool. I actually don't know if this topic has any legs at all. So you're going to have to help me out. I have one line from the Catechism and an idea. And
okay,
that's about it.
That's the Crunch Podcast version of a wing and a prayer. That's what we got here.
Yeah. So, man, I feel like I don't know if you had this experience in engagement, but I feel like I've been radically challenged to grow in maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And
step one, pronounce it like that.
Yes, matoire. Maturity and I guess just my commitment to relationships. Obviously, my commitment to Emma being the primary human relationship in my life, but also there's no way I can give to her fully if I'm not giving everything to the Lord and allowing him to fill me up so that I can then give to Emma. Because if I'm just drawing on the well of Ethan, that well ran dry in 1996. it is not a full well. I can convince myself that it's full, but it's actually not. And so I've been trying to grow in my relationship with the Lord and trying to pursue him and just realizing a lot of gaps in my life, just a lot that have become very apparent. It's kind of beautiful. We've been praying the 54-day novena leading up to our wedding, and I attribute a lot of these realizations to Mary just kind of clearing things away and Jesus kind of opening up my eyes and removing the blindness that I've had towards these things and just saying, hey, this is here. A lot of stuff that's not going to be said on the podcast because I can't put my whole life online.
Mm.
Just like 70-80%. But I read the book Be Healed by Bob Schutz. Highly recommend everybody read that book. I don't care if you think that you're healed. I don't care if you think that you don't need to be healed. You should read that book or something similar by Bob Schutz because it's helpful. And I kind of had this realization as I'm going through all these things and recognizing, okay, I'm broken here and I need to be healed here and I got to root this thing out of my life. I got to root that thing out of my life and I got to sharp up my virtues over here and cut out some vices over there. All the while I'm doing this and I realized a couple don't know, days ago, weeks ago, recently. I have no, time is an illusion right now. Mm-hmm. That I wasn't actually talking to Jesus. Hmm. You know, all, I'm sure you've kind of been through this, and we all have at some point or another. My prayer was about me.
Ugh.
Which is, I don't know, we've talked about it before, but, and I was growing in self-knowledge. I think there's a genuine good there. I think I grew, I've grown a lot in self-knowledge over the past couple of weeks, which is, you know, St. Teresa of Avila talks about, that's the first kind of step in order to enter into the,
yes,
interior castle.
She,
so
she says she'd rather have someone who is wise and knows themselves more than someone who is holy as their spiritual director.
Mm-hmm. Which is crazy.
It's wild. Yeah.
It's very,
but it makes sense.
Very crazy. Yeah. And so I realized that I was kind of on that path of, okay, I'm growing a lot on self-knowledge, but when I kneel down to pray, it's like me just thinking about and spiritualizing these things that I'm realizing that God is showing me, but not actually bringing them to Jesus.
To him, yeah.
And it's kind of hard to put into words that there, Jesus invited me to begin praying with my spirit. And that's kind of what I want to talk about, the idea of like,
I missed it. I missed the word that you said.
I'm going to leave it. I'm going to let you try to figure it
out.
No. The word was spirit.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. That's what, yeah, it, that's what it looked like. But your mouth was hidden behind your,
behind my microphone.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things happen in my mind. My mind moves very quickly, and mm-hmm, I'm very good at thinking about things. And there's just a lot of, I have a lot of good knowledge and intellectual things about prayer and God and faith and theology, and everything is kind of up in here. And so there's my mind, and then there's also my body, and my body sometimes helps my mind. Like, I wake up in the morning, my mind says, it's early, it's time for you to pray. And my body will say, no, it's time for you to hit the snooze button for an hour and a half and then barely make it to morning mass on time, yes, is what my body says. And then it's just, and then you're going to be very hungry and thirsty because you didn't have any time to eat breakfast or make coffee or drink any water. I'm your body. Like, that's kind of what my body does.
I like making myself feel bad.
I know. And then I was praying about this and realized that there was kind of this, there's more to me than just my mind and my body, but it feels like that sometimes. It feels like it's just my intellect and then whatever I can do physically, and that's it. Mm-hmm. And I can think about something, but if I can't do it with my body, then I'm stuck. But there is this realization in prayer where Jesus was asking me, I need you to pray with your spirit and do things with your spirit. And I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't really understand that. So I tried, and I could sense something different because I was trying to like leave my intellect behind and forget what my body was feeling and just pray with my spirit. I looked at the catechism to make sure I wasn't totally off base. And this is what the one quote that I have and this idea that I'm going to present to you, and then I'm going to stop talking.
What's the paragraph?
Paragraph 367. It's the distinguishing between the soul and the spirit, which I think is interesting.
I don't know what this means, but I added a footnote. Do you see it?
I don't see anything.
There's a footnote on the podcast. Apparently
on
you can do that now.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I'll just read the whole paragraph because I think it's pretty good. Sometimes the soul is distinguished from the spirit. St. Paul, for instance, prays that God may sanctify his people wholly with spirit and soul and body, kept sound and blameless at the Lord's coming. The church teaches that this distinction does not introduce a duality into the soul. And then this last sentence is what I kind of want to zoom in on. Spirit signifies that from creation, man is ordered to a supernatural end, and that his soul can gratuitously be raised beyond all it deserves to communion with God. Which is such a banger line. Like, the soul can gratuitously be raised beyond all it deserves to communion with God. Mm. This idea that, like, there's something about us that is not bound by how quickly our synapses can fire in our brain or how weak or strong our muscles are. Like, there's actually another element to being a human being. And I think when people are inspired by people like John Paul II or Teresa of Lisieux or Maximilian Kolbe or insert, you know, your favorite saint here, mm, and like the amazing things that they did under such suffering and pains and difficulties and trials, what they're seeing is the triumph of their spirit over their human rationality and their human physicality. I'm going to stop talking there.
Okay.
And I want to hear your thoughts on this idea of like where what the spirit is and how it should push us to do more than we think is possible without it. Does that make sense? You understand kind of where I'm coming from?
I need to think through it.
I know there's kind of a lot there. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I think I understand what you're saying regarding talking to yourself in prayer instead of praying.
Yeah.
Which is why I gave a talk about prayer at Alpha last week, and it was okay.
No, it was probably really good.
What was said was needed to be said. I said what the Lord needed to be said. I did not say what I wanted to say.
Nice.
But it was moving me as I practiced it. It did not move me as I said it. So like I stopped and I was like, I just need to put my notes down and just talk. It worked. It was apparently there was a gigantic bug on the wall behind me. But
nice.
That was fun. But in preparation for that talk, I watched the Alpha video on prayer, and I was underwhelmed.
Oh, no.
Incredibly underwhelmed. Because they were talking about, like, how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about what prayer was, and then which was okay. It was an okay definition of prayer. Like, why we pray. But then they were talking about, like, how to pray. And they were like, oh, you say please, thank you, and I'm sorry. And it's like, but there's so much more to prayer than that. In the same way that Christianity is not about making yourself like Jesus, it's about making yourself Jesus. Mm-hmm. Not making yourself, it's about you being made Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Made into Jesus. Christian prayer is not about, it's not just a conversation with God.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that like you have a conversation with... Could you imagine if you only ever said, please, thank you, and I'm sorry to someone? Like...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't rant about that. But...
No, that's okay. You can rant.
The Bible verse that I wanted to focus on that, like...
Mm.
They mentioned in the Alpha video, but I don't think they explored. It was Romans 8, where the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words because we do not know how to pray as we ought. Like that part.
Can we please say inexpressible groanings on the podcast?
Inexpressible groanings?
Sighs too deep for words just doesn't do it for me.
Really? Sighs too deep for words does it for me.
Really? I like inexpressible groanings.
Interesting.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
this is the unforeseen sloppy wet battle. This is what this is. Is the kiss unforeseen, or is it sloppy wet, or is it neither? Because both of those things are weird to say.
It's just such a weird thing to say.
Sloppy wet is gross, and unforeseen implies the prophets don't exist.
Yeah, so we just maybe shouldn't sing that song.
That's not possible. Actually, no, I think it's all right. I think it's dead. But anyway.
Okay, good. Carry on.
The thrust of my talk was as I was trying to describe how to pray, I was like, honestly, we have to go back to the beginning and say, like, the Spirit intercedes for us because we don't know how to pray as we ought.
Mm-hmm,
and it's not, you'll never know intellectually how to pray as you ought, because I was like, the challenge of talking about how to pray is that I'm going to intellectualize it. I'm going to try and give you a step-by-step process, and that's not how it works. You can't do that. And what if you try to do it, you'll end up having a really nice meditation. You know, you'll have a really nice time.
Yeah, in silence.
And that's boring.
Yes, I've done it a lot.
It's very boring. But like I think when you're talking about spirit, you have to recognize that it's not your spirit that's doing the praying. It's God's spirit dwelling within your spirit.
They put in me. Yeah. It's like my spirit, but I didn't invent it.
Sure.
In some regards, the formation of my mind was up to me, you know, like, I have chosen the things that I've read, watched, listened to, learned and studied, you know, in other senses, obviously God is, you know, directing my life and he's putting in there what he wants in there. But Also, I have agency and he respects my free will. I have no control over my spirit, you know, over the spiritual. I mean, I suppose there is in some way, like I can choose whether or not I offer that spirit up to God, I suppose. But I don't get to, I didn't get a choice on whether or not it's there, you know?
Yeah.
And there's like the characteristics of my particular spirit as opposed to your particular spirit. Like the spiritual element of Ethan was intricately and carefully designed by God and infused into my body at the point of my conception. Like my mind is this whole other thing, but that, but my mind also has a spiritual component to it. So I'm trying to figure out, like, I don't know the answer to these things. I don't have anything to teach or to say, but I just am like, when I ask myself, when I tell Jesus that I want to pray with my spirit, or I want to do something with my spirit, I want to choose to do something hard from my spirit rather than from my intellect, I can sense a difference. And I don't know how to describe that difference. And I don't know if it's necessarily the same for everyone.
Does mental prayer come from your intellect?
It's mental prayer.
So, yeah.
So half and half?
Because like one of the things that the spiritual writers talk about is how mental prayer is a bridge for contemplation. And how contemplation is a pure gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something you can work up in yourself. It's not something you can choose. God has to give it to you. It's not something that you can elect to have happen.
Well, I'm not really talking about like contemplation necessarily.
Okay.
I feel like there are moments where you and I have things to do that are challenging to us. Whether it's having a hard conversation with someone or doing something at work that we don't want to do, or physically mortifying ourselves. Or even just prayer in and of itself, like the choice to go and do mental prayer, you know? I feel like if we're, the point that I'm trying to make is I feel like if I'm just doing that with my mind, or like the faculties of my mind, or just doing it based on whether or not the faculties of my body agree to it, I feel like I'm so limited and I'm not actually reaching Jesus in the way that he wants me to. I feel like I'm just pursuing him with like, half of me.
Sure.
And I'm trying to access and figure out what is the spiritual dimension of a Christian. Like, what does it mean to be quote unquote in tune with the spirit? Because man, like this is the line, like man is a spiritual being, you know?
Can you read that?
What does that say?
Abandonment to divine providence.
But what does that mean?
I have a skinny little version. It means,
I'm not trying to like, I don't know, just look for answers, but I feel like I'm having a problem that no one's ever talked about.
It's profitable only when it serves as an instrument of God's activity. That's what Jean-Pierre de Coussol says.
Yeah, but then how do you figure out what God's will is without your brain? You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm making this too complicated. Maybe I just need to like stop podcasting and go live away from technology for the rest
of
my
life. I think it's good. I mean, the only thing that Every Knee Shall Bow said something about how you need to focus on the one thing.
Boom, 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 boom.
Every time I hear that, I'm like, oh, it's time to go evangelize somebody. Somebody about to get evangelized.
Every time Dave Van Vickle walks into a room, that song plays somewhere. And then everybody converts.
They were talking about like, what's the one thing? Because the devil will try to distract you with the many things in your life that needs to change. It's like, what's the one thing?
Yeah.
And so I was like, in general, I think I need to be better, or I want to be better at abandoning myself to divine providence. I know that's kind of like the one thing forever. Like that's always going to be hard.
That's the only thing. You've picked the one thing.
That's the one thing. But I think the fact is like I can't choose what virtues I need to grow in because I will only choose the virtues that I deem to be convenient. I want to be patient so that I don't like make my wife feel sad. You know, I want to be temperate in my consumption of food so that I can lose weight. Right. It's like I want virtue for an end, not in and of itself, but God will choose the tests, the trials. You okay?
Yeah, just some thunder went off.
Oh.
I don't know what you call that.
It's a twister. It's a twister.
Oh, it could be. Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain.
And then takes away your trailer. The Abandonment to Divine Providence book is really solid, and this is like a blast from the past, but it's good to like recognize that God will place trials in your way, or this is what I've been thinking about, is like God will place trials in your way, and he will give you everything you need to like grow in holiness. It's like the life that God has planned for you is like a curriculum in virtue and becoming a saint. Mm-hmm. And so if you just accept the trials that he gives you, you will become a saint. And I think in reflecting on that, that has, in prayer, that has helped me pray better.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that prayer in a deeper way, I think in a spiritual way. Like it's really hard to express. It's not an intellectual, like when I was in high school writing, God, the thing that I want the most in this life is to do your will. Like, shut up, Patrick. No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just really want a girlfriend. You know?
Yes.
Like, that's what you wanted. But it's like, I'm coming to this point in my life where I'm like, I'm coming to this point in my prayer life where I'm just like, yeah, no, like I'm stupid. The only thing that is going to help is God's will. And so it's this point where my like heart is like, you're the only one who knows your will. So like, just tell me or just do the thing, just do the things that you need to do so that I do the things that you want me to. Mm-hmm. And I think in that helps it. That helps Jesus not become like an intellectual topic and makes him become a person in mm-hmm. my heart and in my soul. If that is in any way related to the topic that you wanted to talk about.
I mean, it is related. I guess my issue is that I maybe it's this, right? And this is why maybe I have this problem with the dichotomy between my mind and my spirit. Because I probably, what's most likely is that I go to prayer thinking that I already know what God's will is.
Hmm.
You know, like I probably have, it's just me processing, you know, out loud. I probably have some, like, definitely have some kind of intellectual, spiritual pride where I feel like I know what Jesus wants from me and I know what he ought to be saying to me. And I just expect him to say those things to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he doesn't say those things to me, I'm like, what the heck? You know, Jesus, don't you know that I have a Bible cast? You know, like, I feel like there's a certain element of, I just show up empty handed, but not in the good way. You know, like I show up resting on my laurels of I've come to prayer and Jesus, I've already done all this work and all this mission work and I'm doing all these great things. I'm trying to do all these things for you. Now it's your turn to reward me with visions and deep consolation, you know, like, and not that I ever vocalize that in prayer. That's not what I actually say, you know, but then when I don't get the graces that I think that I ought to get from prayer, I'm like, oh, what happened? What'd I do wrong? You know, but I don't actually treat my relationship with Jesus as a relationship. I treat it like, you know, here's this person who's assigned me some tasks. And if I do the tasks, I'm going to get a cookie. Like, where is the cookie? Ethan needs his cookie.
But if you give a mouse a cookie,
if you give an Ethan a cookie, He's gonna demand that you give him the cookie for the rest of his life, regardless of what you actually will for him. is the problem.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make a bit more sense? And I'm trying to figure out like how to get out of my mind to get into my spirit is where I'm trying to go here.
Have you considered,
and no,
bear with me in this for a moment, just not doing that anymore?
I'm trying.
I'm gonna be such a good dad. I'm gonna be like, okay, I understand. I understand you're trying not to, you know, hit your brothers. What if?
But have you
bear with me? What if you didn't?
Didn't. I know. I don't expect answers. I just wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, no, that's good because it's good to not... I've been thinking about this recently. I don't think it's good to seek counsel from your peers. I think it's good to seek... I think it's good to like discuss your heart with each other. But there's a story in the Bible where Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, is like, hey, how do I treat the northern kingdoms? And the old men are like, hey, take it easy on him. And his friends, his buddies, his like his age are like, tell him, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. That's in the Bible. And then he's like, my father chastised you with whips. I shall chastise you with scorpions. And then there's a schism. So
yeah,
this may be eisegesis, but I'm just like, maybe never ask your friends for advice. That's my...
I mean, yeah.
But
I don't want your advice. Let me just make it clear. I am not on this podcast to get you to tell me what to do.
But
I am on this podcast because I think you are wise and you have insights into things that I struggle with because we have different lives and have had different paths to get to where we are. Mm-hmm. So, eh.
Yes. I think I understand what you were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
I lost it.
That's all right.
You keep coming to prayer expecting things. And
I keep coming to prayer expecting that I've already done the work that I need to do in order to have a good prayer life.
Oh.
You know,
but having a good prayer life doesn't start from outside of the prayer life. Prayer life is a wellspring that comes from within itself.
I mean, no, tell that to Ethan every day in prayer for the past 5 years, you know?
Yeah.
The crazy thing is that Jesus will like let us keep coming to him in our complete and utter arrogance and pride without just annihilating us on the spot for being so presumptuous, you know? Like, it's crazy to me.
Yeah, remember that one guy touched a gold box and he died? That's what we deserve.
That's me.
Gold box, every single time. I mean, call it.
I think
box.
People got that. Stop giving away free Biblecast content.
Sorry.
Save it.
I've been trying in my life because I feel like I've stopped listening for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I feel like a while ago I was able to like hear it better, but I think in my time as a youth minister, I was like, I know what I'm doing. You know, and just kind of stop listening to the Holy Spirit all that much. So I'm trying to do that more.
Nice.
Listen to the Holy Spirit more.
I agree. I think we should all do that. I want to listen to the Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner submissions because we haven't had any of those in like 3 weeks.
Oh, you're right. Rather,
we haven't done Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner in that long. I'm sure people are submitting
them. I totally forgot left, right, and center. That was a segment.
How could you forget about our most popular segment?
I know it hurts. I'm sorry. It's not your point. Alright, you came to the right place, you ding-dong. It's called communication, baby.
Welcome to Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner, the part of the show sponsored by Catholic Match.
Woo!
If you want to submit a Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner question, please go follow at Catholic Match on Instagram. Because that's where we post the thing. And if you are a lonely heart, part of Sergeant Pepper's club band out there, that's a thing. You should go to catholicmatch.com/crunch because you'll get to start a free profile, which you would get even if you didn't go to that URL because the profiles are all free. But if you do that, then they'll know that you sent us and they'll love us more. Thank you, Catholic Match, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Woo!
And especially the segment Dr. Ethan's Dating Corner. Here's one.
Here goes.
We're in our 50s. Should I sleep over?
I don't know about this.
You don't know about this one?
Well, let's do it and let's see how it goes. But I'm worried.
I definitely saved it for a reason. So let me see how it goes.
Yikes.
Should I stay at his place? I connected with a wonderful man on CM who lives in another state about 1,000 miles away. We're both in our early 50s, and we've been getting to know each other for 2 years. Due to sick elderly parents and COVID, we haven't met yet. I'm planning on visiting him in his state within a month. He said he would like for me to stay at his place, but I'm not 100% sure because I know it would be awkward when we first met. What do you think?
No, don't do it. I don't care how old you are. You can't sleep over unless you're married. You don't get an age. There's no age exemption to cohabitation.
Even if it's in another bedroom?
Even if it's in another bedroom. I feel like that's so weird.
Yeah.
One, because if it's weird. And two, because it's like you're not invincible.
Yeah,
you know?
You're not, what are you, superhero? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're not going to sleep in the same bed. I don't care, 50-year-old.
Literally the holiest man I know, one of the holiest men I know, was like, he was talking about how when him and his then-girlfriend traveled, they would sleep in separate hotel rooms. He was like, I don't trust myself.
No.
And I was like, you don't trust yourself, Wesley? But you're perfect. I trust you.
Be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. As the old scripture says, I just don't think it's a smart idea. What? Why are you laughing?
We're shrewd as serpents.
Shrewd?
Be as wily as coyotes.
Yes.
And roady as runners.
Dang it. Come on. Let me do jokes on the podcast.
Okay. This one is called All My Exes Live in Seminary.
Nice.
This person, yes, listens to The Crunch, so that's great. Can I get the church to pay me for sending guys to seminary? This is not a serious inquiry, but I think it's pretty funny. I think is my microphone still...
Yeah, you sound great.
AT-USB?
Yeah.
Whatever, I hope it is. It says unknown on the bottom of my... I don't know. If this episode sounds bad, just stop listening to the podcast.
It's my fault.
I, a young Catholic woman in her early 20s, have noticed a pattern in my life and relationships with men. The church and I have the same taste in men.
Nice.
She's prettier, I get it. In high school, I dated a guy. After we broke up, he went to seminary. In college, I started dating a non-religious guy. And after we broke up, he entered the church, and then, I guess, went to seminary. After him, I started seriously talking with another guy, and then he walked in with To Save 1,000 Souls, and I cut any romantic dreams right there. Recently, a guy friend I've wanted to hang out with more, just as friends, has mentioned discerning religious life. I know I'm not the direct cause of this, but I seem to be placed around these people to give them good support and write the friend letter of recommendation. Since I have this habit of scouting out potential priests and conversions in general, I was wondering who I can contact in the church to see about this becoming my actual job. This is a joke, unless someone actually will pay me for this. In all honesty, since I'm out of college now, should I make it a rule that a guy has to discern out of seminary before seriously dating him? It seems like all these guys who actually pray, I could see myself growing closer to Christ with, are thinking about seminary. So what do you think? Should she have like a little rule where she only dates guys who've already discerned out?
No. I think maybe this is harsh, but I only heard one guy in the story who actually went to seminary. It seems like all the rest of them you just discounted because they mentioned it.
Ooh, good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to be rude, but also just because a guy I've read To Save 1,000 Souls, I'm getting married in a week and a half. I actually own a copy. It's in the guest room, or it's in the living room. It's here. You know what I mean? Like what? Just because somebody is open to exploring more about a particular vocation does not mean that they have. There are plenty of seminarians that go on dates with women. Let me just say that straight up. And they don't go on dates, but they're like, hey, I'm home, you know, from seminary. Like, can we get frozen yogurt? And then they go get frozen yogurt. And then wham, 6 months after that, he's gone. He's out of seminary.
He's out of seminary, baby.
I think
and Father Anthony's like throwing popcorn at him, making fun of him.
Exactly. First thing is, stop taking it so seriously. You're not the cause or solution to any of these problems. you're just there.
I definitely think you should not make that a rule, because that sounds like making a rule out of your woundedness.
Yeah,
or dangerously close to that. So don't do that.
What I need you to do is reinstate romantic ties with the guy who had the book, and reconnect with the guy that you were seriously quote unquote talking to, which I don't know what that means. Even though he said he was discerning religious life, guys say that kind of stuff all the time because they have no clue what they want. Right? Odds are that if a guy really knows that you like him, he's probably going to like you, and you guys could date. You know, just like be upfront and not be worried. And I wouldn't put too much weight or God will make it very clear whether or not a guy needs to date you or go to seminary.
Yes.
If they're the kinds of guys that you're talking about, with the ones that are honestly praying and honestly seeking after him and everything, you're not going to be left hanging. And neither is he. So, yeah, maybe you don't date the one guy in seminary, but the other three guys that you mentioned, open season.
Go nuts. Go nuts. Well, date one at a time. Like, go on dates with one of them. Don't go all at once. That'd be kind of weird. They'd be like...
Yeah, be like that one weird show where, like, everybody was trying to take a girl on a date. It was, like, on MTV or G4 or something
like that. The Bachelor?
No. There was a show where...
That is The Bachelorette.
Maybe, but it's
weird.
Do they all go on... So one girl and, like, four guys go out on a date all at the same time?
Not on the... Well, yeah, on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. They do
There's a show that's not The Bachelor and The Bachelorette where... One, like, multiple guys take one girl out on a date.
Bachelor.
And then the weird thing is, I remember this, is like the one guy starts making out with the one girl and the other two guys are just sitting there just like watching.
Wait, they're all chained up together, aren't they?
I don't know if they're chained
they're
up together.
They're all handcuffed, isn't it? And handcuffed. Then they have to, like, they're all together. Nope. And that, yeah, mm-hmm. That's one. That's one of them. That's
okay.
So
maybe
weird.
It is. I hope not, though.
Oh, these dating shows are ridiculous.
This is weird. Weird.
We want to see if people can fall in love without seeing each other's bodies. Okay.
Let's put them in front of a camera.
Let's dress them up like the one where they put them in makeup. You know, they put them in like latex makeup. It's on Netflix right now.
No, I don't know about that.
It's called Sexy Beasts.
Oh. I don't think anything needs to be named that.
Nope, nothing needs to be named that except my high school rock band. That was my band's name in high school. Just kidding. Sexybeast.tumblr.com. Don't go to that website.
Okay. All right. Time to wrap up the show.
What's weirder in your opinion, The Bachelor or The Bachelorette?
I think they're both very weird.
They're weird in their own. I go back and forth on which one creeps me out more. I can't tell. The Bachelor creeps me out in terms of just like society. Like, I feel like I really hate the dynamic of a one man surrounded by 20 women. I get like Babylonian vibes. You know, I'm just like, let's not do that. Yeah. And the energy in the room of The Bachelorette just cringe. It feels like middle school, but with guys who work out, you know?
Yeah, I really don't have any opinions on either of the shows except for that they're bad.
I've never seen the shows. I've only ever seen YouTube commentary videos about the shows that recap the whole season at once. And even those are too long.
Oh, boy. Well, this has been The Crunch. Two non-bachelors. I guess I'm still technically a bachelor. I'm not married yet.
Technically.
Week and a half, though? Gone. See ya.
Audi.
Next week will be the last episode that I record before my honeymoon. Patrick, you're in charge of recording an episode while I'm gone.
Okay. We'll do a Phoebe cast.
A Phoebe cast. That'd be good. I did one with Patrick Tolles and Emma while you were on your honeymoon last year.
That was fun.
It was great. So you could do the same thing. I think it would be very, very good. Patreon.com/TheCrunch so that you can sign up and be a member and get the Bible cast straight to your phone, straight to your device. Facebook.com/group/TheCrunchcast. Great place to meet and talk to people and have a good time. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Stay tuned for my new dating show where I host a room full of focused missionaries, and they're all in their first year and they're on the dating fast. And the point of the show is, if you go on a date, if you secretly go on a date, you're voted off the island. And the person who makes it all the way to the end gets fully funded for that month, not the whole year.
You just described my first summer at training. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We will be praying for you, and we will see you all next week.